Thank you for that, Shelley. Thank you for being here. Of course, this Sunday is I Love My Church Sunday, and it's something we do each year, but we're going to talk about a subject. We don't talk about it a lot when it comes to preaching about it, and it can be controversial simply because of it has to do with our finances. And so I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. Do you know, you ever notice how your children and your grandchildren, how they choose their food choices, right? They choose it by how it looks, the texture of it, and they'll make a decision whether or not they like it simply based on that. All kids love French fries. And you'll give kids some other form of potato, and I'll, you know, like the little hash brown things, and I'll tell the kids, like, that's just a flat French fry. That's all that is. Mashed potatoes are just mashed French fries. And by the way, I don't understand how anybody would not like mashed potatoes and gravy. I just think you can't love God if you don't love mashed potatoes and gravy. There's something wrong in your soul. But they'll make that decision, and even if you force it and you put it in their mouth, before they even have a chance to chew it, they're gagging. And they're spinning it up. They've already made a decision. They won't take a bite. Now, I know that there are some foods, even if you taste it, you don't like it. It's not appealing to you, even if you give it a try. Now, I'm sure if you've been to our church long enough, it's a well-known fact that I'm a Christian. And because I'm a Christian, I don't like McDonald's. Okay? I don't like Fords. Why don't you like Fords? Because I don't like hitchhiking. I really don't. But by the way, if you do have a Ford, get AAA. That would help. But there's one thing I really don't like to eat. Thank you. Who's that? Was that Karina? Oh, Angie. Thank you. Don't get on Karina's bandwagon, too. I don't like fish. Now, I appreciate it. Miss Karina, every time her family's having fish, she'll text me a picture. Like, Pastor, do you want some? And the correct answer is, no. And by the way, I know how you guys all talk. Well, you know, Pastor Myers, I can cook it in such a way that it doesn't take fishy and you'll like it. That's not reality. We haven't done it in several years, but Brother Ross and some of the guys, we'd go up to Bishop, and after the offering Sunday, we would fish. We went up one year up to Bishop, and we got skunked. I think between all of us, we caught one fish. And so the next year we went up, and I was like, we need to get God on our side here or something. And so I'm like, I'll tell you guys what. If I catch something, I'll eat it. And it's almost like God has a sense of humor, man. I caught fish left and right. We even went to a lake, and no one else caught a fish in the lake. I caught one. We went to this little river. Then we went to this one river, and every, literally, I'm not kidding, for 7 or 8 casts in a row, every time I threw it in, within 2 minutes, I was reeling in a fish. I had a treble hook, I think it was. One of the little prongs broke, and I'm like, I am not taking time to change this, man. I'm catching them left and right. So we go back, and I think it was Josh Barker, like, Pastor, don't worry about it. I'm going to cook this thing, and it's not going to taste like fish, and you'll like it. Look, the only reason I ate some of it is because I made a promise to God. If you give me fish, I will eat it. And I ate some of it. I didn't die. But I'll just be honest with you. I don't like it. I know. I'm losing half of you because we got all these Asians and Filipinos in here. And they're like, what's that all about? I'm a Christian. You need to get saved. But David's going to talk about something today that if you do taste it, yeah, it is good. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The story behind this psalm is David was fleeing from Saul. And so he goes into the land of the Philistines, and he's going to come before King Abimelech. And he you know, David kind of killed Goliath, and who's a Philistine. So he makes himself to seem like he's crazy, and Abimelech lets him go, and God spares his life. And going through all that drama, running from Saul and all of that, this is what David starts to write this psalm. He is thankful for what God has done for him. And by the way, that's kind of the theme of the psalms. There's many different themes. One of those is being thankful for what God has done. And then praising God and being very specific about what God has done. And so after that incident, running from Saul and God sparing his life, we see that he's testifying to all that God has done. If you read through the verses, he says some tremendous things, and he's sharing with others what God has done in his life. And as he gets to the end of those first seven verses, all that God has done and all that God can do for you, he stops and he issues a challenge. Look at verse 8. He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." David is saying, for those of you that might be skeptical, for those of you that might not believe that God actually is as good and worth praising as I'm saying that he is, why don't you just try it? Take a bite. Just take a bite. All you got to do is give God a chance. He issued a challenge. Take a bite. Now, why does God issue a challenge? Why did David, through the Spirit of God, issue a challenge? He wants them to experience all that he has. But you ever notice that? Have you ever eaten at a place that's good, and then you I got to tell so-and-so about this, right? And like, hey, there's this place over here, and we found it, and it's great food and all. We naturally like to share with others the good things that have happened to us. And he also gives it a promise. He says, if you do taste and see that the Lord, you'll be blessed. I don't know what the PA guys are doing, playing video games or something. Challenge. Going back to the food illustration, he's just saying, look, take a bite. I know that you will like it. Do you know if you look throughout the Bible, God issues challenges? He does. By the way, guys, for sure, we do better with challenges. You know, I used to work at overnight trucking and when I was in Bible college, and we would unload trucks and we'd take stuff off. And I got this truck one time, and it had lamp poles that are out on the streets. I had a forklift, I had the chain. I couldn't figure out how to get it out. Now, if I had given enough time to it, I probably could have. But I'm like, I know how to get my supervisor to get that out. I went over to him. I said, you know what? That thing is not coming out. I didn't ask for his help. I don't know the guys that loaded it. they stuffed it in there. It's backwards. There is no way that thing's come out of the truck. He goes, you want to bet? He goes, just watch me. I'm like, well, that was my intention all along. And he went over there and he did my work for me. And I'm like, wow, you're the greatest and the dumbest. We like challenges. Here's one, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In that verse, he's talking about the necessities of life and you know, our finances and these different things that we need to make it in life. And then he gives the challenge. He goes, listen, seek God first. Put God first. And if you put God first, all the things you need in your life, you'll be taken care of. God will never let you down. But what do we have to do? We have to take the challenge first. We have to put God first. And by the way, he was talking in a sense of money, because money is a competing God. When God said, you know, you cannot serve two masters, he applied it to one thing. What did he apply it to? Money. Because that's a competing God in our life. Now you're going to know where we're going here. Let's turn to Malachi chapter 3. God's going to issue us another challenge. So I knew, Pastor, it's all you guys do is talk about money. Yeah, no, we typically don't. But I want us to see this. Malachi, it's the last book of the Old Testament. If you're having trouble finding it, just look for the Italian guy, Malachi. He's in the back. Malachi chapter 3, we'll look at verse 8 through 11. He says this, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat in mine house, and prove me now therewith. What is that? That's a challenge. Prove me, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough, I'm sorry, that there not shall be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Here God's speaking about a serious problem. In the book of Malachi, he's talking about many of the ordinances and the things they have got away from when it comes to the Lord. And they're always asking a question. And this one, God's like, let's talk about giving. He goes, will a man rob God? And they're like, how did we rob you? And God very specifically answers it. They robbed him, excuse me, in the area of tithes. He says, you're not giving your money. They were robbing him. And so what does he do? He talks to them about that, and then he issues them a challenge which we will look at in a minute. Now, I know that we're coming out of our following after building campaign. And by the way, you gave a lot. By the way, FYI, update, so money, a little bit of money's come in after that. We're like $5,000 short of $600,000 for the whole thing. It's just, you've been phenomenal. I don't question your dedication or your giving to the church or your desire to help us to go forward and get the building done. And thank you for that. But I get that. But even during the capital campaign, we had testimonies and so forth, but I didn't preach on money the whole time. I preached on different subjects. I applied it maybe one point to our building campaign or whatever, but I didn't preach specifically on giving. And by the way, I don't do this every week. I don't. We don't get up here and preach on tithing all the way. There's so many things in the Bible. But let me say this. As a pastor, I would be cheating you out if I don't talk about it. The Bible talks about money a lot. If money's a competing God, then we might want to make sure that we have the right perspective about it. And I also don't mind teaching on it specifically once a year because I know what God has done in my life through giving. And I'm just, I want to go through it. It's a part of our lives. We have several couples in our church that are young couples that are getting married. My son is getting married next Saturday. George and Darlene are getting married two Saturdays out. And then we have a couple others. Daniel and Cassie are getting married probably in a month. And Valerie and Isaac are getting married soon. So and when I do premarital counseling, we talk about all the different things. But one of the things we really talk about a lot is finances and making sure your finances are in order. Because I don't care how beautiful she is, if she's bouncing checks, she don't look that good. Okay? And you give her a diamond ring on her wedding day, but when she's got one on all 10 fingers and you're in debt, that doesn't look good. Okay? And so we talk about, because it's got to be in order. But God issues challenges. And we're going to apply it in a second to specifically Malachi. But I just want to give you a couple thoughts, and they're just kind of together. We only have a few minutes here. First of all, I want you to understand that God does issue challenges to take a bite. We looked at it in Psalms. David said, listen, God's good. He can do all these things and he can be a blessing to you, but you got to take a bite. You're never going to see it unless you actually try to make God a part of your life. And God gives us challenges. He says, listen, all the things we stress about, will I be taken care of? Will things happen in my life this way? Am I going to be able to provide for all that stuff? God says, look, you put me first. Do what you're supposed to do, but put me first. And I'll make sure all those things you need. And then even in the tithing situation, God says, prove me now. And he gives some promises to that. But God likes to issue challenges. Why? Because, you know, challenges stretch us. They get us out of our comfort zone. And they get us to a new level where we weren't before. And that's important. We get so often, we get so stuck at a certain plateau in our life, a certain plateau in our spirituality. By the way, that's one of the reasons we have youth conference. We're trying to stretch our teenagers. By the way, it's good for us. I will say, let's make sure we're back after lunch. Very simple truth after lunch, the second service, but it goes along with why we have youth conference, and it's very good for us, and I hope that you're all back here for that. But challenge us, they stretch us, they motivate us, they grow us. You understand this, if you don't take a bite, you miss out. How many things have we missed out in our life because we've never, ever tried them? You know, when I was in Bible college kid, I lived on Chicago hot dogs. Those stores were everywhere. And by the way, those are really good. But everywhere I went, they'd always say, you know, Chicago, hot dogs, and gyros. And I didn't know what gyros was. You know, I'm just like, I'm living on hot dogs. They're cheap. They're inexpensive. I'm a college kid. It works. And after I was there for my third year of college, I was on the bus route, and I'm sitting there. One of my teenagers in the back was eating something. And I go back there. His name was Curtis. I'm, what are you eating, Curtis? And it smelled like heaven. It really did. And I'm like, what is that? He goes, this is a gyro. And I'm like, let me get some. Give me some of that. He's, you know, he's, oh, okay. I mean, you know, if you don't mind. I'm like, yeah. And I took a bite, Brother Ross, and I was hooked. I mean, I saw angels, Daniel. I just saw them. And it's like, you have to do this again. And I'll tell you what, down here in our area, I've not found a place exactly like the Chicago places, but there is a place up here Brother John told me about. Pita Pataki, man, just the sound of that makes me happy. But you know, I was there for 3 years. I didn't have to live on hot dogs. I could have lived on gyros and baklava. That was another story. But I didn't try it. I saw it all those times, and now, all those years, I missed out. But you know, we're missing out on important things because we're not simply willing to take God at his word. We're not simply willing to do what he says and find out that, you know what? What God promises, it's reality. Yeah. God challenges us. Next, promises are attached to the challenge to take a bite. Promises are attached. It's funny, when God asks you to do something, almost always there's like, and if you do it, here's what happens. If you taste and see, you taste and see the Lord is good, here's all the things that are going to happen. If you put me first, you'll be taken care of. And he says in area tithing, prove me, if you do this, I'll make sure you have everything you need. You'll be taken care of. God gives, you know why? Because it's hard for us sometimes to step out by faith. We should, don't get me wrong. But it's sometimes it's easier. God says, if you do this, here's what will happen in your life. Here's what I can do. It's almost like God is sitting back there saying, listen, I want to act. I want to do this in your life. But you're stopping me because you won't go forward. You're stopping me because you won't do the things that I'm asking you to do. Third, the greatest area where Christians won't bite is financial. You know how we see giving to God sometimes? Like eating vegetables. Now look, kids will eat, I think probably our number one seller out here, and the thing is Flaming Hot Cheetos. And if you really want to poison them, you put nacho cheese inside. You know what? If you really want nutrition, eat the bag it comes in. That's better. But I'll be honest with you, that's why we sell them, because that's what the kids want. We're not putting asparagus in the vending machines. They're not going to drink it. We put Baja Blast. We're not putting V8. No one's drinking V8. But we don't like the things that are good for us. And so sometimes we look at this area of giving and we're like, you know, we look at it like, oh, bad texture, bad smell, and I don't like the way that fills in my mouth, and we don't want to do it. That's why God helps us. He gave us a special promise. Look at verse 10 of Malachi again. And again, I'm not trying to push you. We're going to have a challenge at the end here. But what you do is between you and God. But I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to cheat you by not talking about this, because finances can be a big drag in our life. If you come to me, I'll just tell you up front, and this will probably squelch a lot of counseling sessions. If you have financial issues and you want to come talk to me, that's fine. Our finances are in order. I know how to organize that stuff. But the first thing I'm going to tell you if you're in trouble is, like, first thing you need to do is tithe. Because if you're trying to get out of financial issues, one thing you definitely want God on your side. You don't want to have him not on your side. Verse 10 says, bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house to provide for the needs. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. See, if God understood that finances are a competing God, and they are, if he understood that, then what he's saying is, he goes, look, just put me to the test here and see if I won't bless you. See if I if you will not be ripped off by your giving to me. There's a blessing. There's a promise involved in that. God asks us in the hardest area for many people, which is finances, for us to have faith to put him to the test. We struggle with that. We think we'll lose out. It's like the mother, she was trying to teach her daughter about giving. So she gave her a dollar, she gave her a quarter. And she said, when the offering plate comes, I want you to put one of them in there, you decide. So after, you know, offering time comes and she puts her money in. After church, mom asked the daughter, she goes, hey, what did you put in there? She goes, I put the quarter. She goes, why did you only put the quarter? She goes, you know, I was going to put the dollar, but then I heard the pastor say, God wants you to be happy. And I realized I'd be a lot happier if I had the dollar. Okay, that's kind of how we roll, right? But we have to have confidence in God. And you know, there's a confidence for those who take God's challenge to give. And I don't know where I got it from. I've mentioned before, as a new Christian, I didn't go to church. I didn't start going to church until after I dropped out of high school, really on a regular basis. And then I was unusual for a kid that age. I was out of high school early, so I had time. I was working, and I was making decent, good money, and I didn't have a lot of bills. And so I had money, and no one ever preached on it. When I started going to church, I'm like, Christians tithe, that's just what they do. And I got in on it right up front. And by the way, I've never regretted it. Never regretted it. There's a confidence you have. When you're confident, when you're giving to the Lord, you're confident that God's going to bless you. God's going to be there for you for all your needs. It's like the two men. I've told this story many years ago. They were out on a boat, and they got in a storm, and they got stranded on an island out in the middle of nowhere. And one man is working feverishly. We got to find food. We got to set up shelter, and we're going to die. No one knows all this stuff. And the other guy was just sitting very calmly under a palm tree. And after a while, the other guy looked at him and said, hey, man, we're stuck out here. We got to get going. We're going to die. The guy goes, we're not going to die. Don't worry about it. He goes, if you don't get to work, I mean, we're stuck. The guy goes, no, we're not. He goes, what makes you think that? He goes, I make $100,000 a week, and I tithe. My pastor will find me. By the way, he wasn't a member of our church. Yeah. Or I'd have been out in the boat looking for him. But a promise. Look, God promised. Look, sometimes we struggle and say, you know, if I give to God, am I going to be? And by the way, let me just say this. It does not, I'm going to say this up front, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that you can get by better on 10% less income. It doesn't. But that's where the spiritual equation comes in. That's where faith comes in. That's where you got to get to. Look, there was a pastor, and we're not there. There's a pastor in San Diego area years ago. He used to challenge people to tithe. Says tithe. If you tithe for a year, you're a brand new tither, you tithe for a year, and you can come back to me and say, listen, God didn't bless me at all. He goes, I'll give you your money back. Now that sounds outrageous, especially as a pastor. But you know why he made that promise? Because God said it. God said if we have faith and we trust him in this area. And then lastly, and this is simple, to take a bite, you have to lift a fork. Okay? Food doesn't jump in your mouth. You have to decide, I'm going to take. Someone puts something in front of you that you've never eaten before. They're like, what's that? And they'll give you some name. And you look at it like, oh my. The only way that food's going to get in your mouth is you got to take a fork, you got to put it in, and you got to take a bite. If these things that God asks us to do are going to become a reality in our life, we have to take a bite. We have to lift the fork. We have to take the first step. See, we want God's blessing without any investment of our own. You know, we all know about the Dust Bowl, the 20s and early in the 30s. Throughout the middle portion of our state, particularly Oklahoma, was hard hit. You know, the Dust Bowl was coming through, and they couldn't grow anything, and this was for several years, and farmers were losing, and a lot of them were just leaving. A lot of them moved You know, one of your kids, we used to call them Okies, you know, hillbillies. Well, that was a term for the people from Oklahoma that came west because they lost their farms. And so I read a story about one man, and he was down to the last of his seed, and he had to decide, am I going to plant this year? Because he had lost several crops in a row. He goes, or am I going to save that seed for another day? And he made a decision. He goes, you know, this year, he goes, I'm really lost either way, so I'm just going to plant it and see what happens. And he planted it, and that was the year when things changed. He had a great crop. He was able to stay with his family and get things turned around. But, you know, if he wouldn't have planted the seed, it wouldn't have happened. See, if we're going to have, in this, we're going to apply it right now to giving, but let me just say this, that's true of any area that God asks us to. If we're not willing to take the first step, why would God fulfill his promises to us? See, God's promises come with, you do this and I'll do this. Because if God just dumped out on us without us having to trust in him, where's the faith in that? God wants our faith to grow. And our faith grows when we step out and trust him. And that's what we're asking you to do today. I've never regretted giving. I've never regretted. And I don't say this, but we give more than the tithe, and we give to missions, we give to the building, we also give to the bus ministry, you know, and the Spanish are buying brand new songbooks, and I bought 20 of them. Like, I want to buy the first 20. Let's do this. And I'm not doing that to a big, I just like to invest in God's work. I'm not asking you to do all that. And what you do between you and God, but I'm saying this, God's blessings come when we obey him. And I could tell you, and I don't have time, and my wife could tell you times when early in our marriage when we had struggles, and it was like buy food or tithe and pay our utilities or tithe, and we always tithe first, and guess what? God always took care of us. He always did. And I'm challenging you to put God to the test. I don't mind telling you that because God said it. He said, prove me, put me to the test. I know God always passes his test. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute. Please, let's not leave. Ushers, get ready. We're going to pass something out. I want you to consider something. And again, here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you, if you don't give, to take the challenge. To take the challenge. We do this every year. We call it the tithe challenge. Now, you can choose the time. You can choose 60 days. I would suggest you choose 90 days. And what you do is you just obey God in this area and give. And I guarantee you, if you do that, you won't regret it. Why? God gives a promise, not me. I'm not promising anything. God's promising everything. We're going to pass these out. Pass these out, ushers. Here it is. It's a little tithe challenge card. By the way, it has a place for your name, but it's optional. You don't even have to do that. But I want you to think about this. Here's this. I already tithe and will continue to do so. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going to do that. Maybe some of you used to tithe and for whatever reason, you fell off. I used to tithe and start again. Maybe that's you. Maybe this is you. I've never tithed. Well, we'll trust God and take the challenge. I'm telling you, by the authority of Scripture, you will not ever regret giving to God. You won't. You won't. It's a step of faith, and a step of faith is rewarded and growth. You all have pens. To be honest with you, I just maybe prefer you don't put your name on it. You don't need to. You don't need to. That's between you and God. Put the Sunday school class you go in. Fold it up. The ushers are going to come. We're going to take these up. I just want to rejoice with you. But this is between you and God. But I'm telling you, you can trust him in this area. We live in a very, our society is getting crazier and crazier. But I know this, those that trust the Lord will be just fine. Ushers, why don't you grab the plates and bring those up here? You say, Pastor, do you do this every week? No, I don't. I rarely do this. Just rarely do this. But I think once a year we should talk about this. Because I don't want you to miss out on the blessings God has for you. God's blessed me, and I Could never thank him enough for it. Ushers, why don't you come down? Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for loving us. And Lord, we thank you for your graciousness in certain areas of faith that are hard for us, that you will give us promises to make the leap a little easier. Lord, all of us would confess that we believe that you are good. But Father, if we are not willing to trust you in certain areas, we may miss out on seeing your goodness. We don't want to do that. Bless us now, Father, whatever decision we've made. In Jesus' name, amen.